You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what a response to last night's broadcast. I was amazed at how many people either called or sent email saying that they had already seen that video and had not noticed any of what I brought to their attention last night. That's pretty scary. And it's just another indication of how much we've been dumbed down as a whole nation, as a people, that we can listen to something like that and see it, watch it, and it just whoosh, right over our heads. Amazing. We've got to correct that. I mean, they're throwing it in our face now. Do you know that there is there's an article, a column, in the New Republic? In the New Republic. The New Republic. Do you know what the New Republic is? And the title of the article is Global Government is Coming, Deal with It. That's right. It says Global Government is Coming, Deal with It. Well, I am dealing with it. But I have not yet begun to deal. I don't know about the rest of you. And there's another article written by Mr. Farah, who writes a column. And it's about America's first tax on writers. Damn the right of free speech, full speed ahead for the globalists, huh? Taxing writers. Can you imagine what Thomas Jefferson would have thought if the British insisted on the right to tax the work of writers like himself, Thomas Paine, James Madison, and others? How do you think our forefathers would have reacted if the British Crown had said tax collectors had a duty to inspect the homes and files of those writers, even to the point of examining unfinished draft manuscripts and notes? What would they have done if the king ordered all writers to register and keep him informed of what type of writing they were doing? I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, the American Revolution would have started a hell of a lot sooner. There is no way the colonists would have tolerated such a violation of basic human rights. This would have been a grievance that topped the list. I mean, it would have been right up there at the very top. That's why it is so amazing, shocking, and disappointing that such a law could actually be in place today in a major American city. And you don't even know about it. It illustrates just how far Americans have gone down the slippery slope toward tyranny. And the fact that it has not been reported as a major national story by the self-interested U.S. media establishment is indicative of an increasingly statist trend in the press. Where? Where, you say? Where is such a law in place in America today? Well, sit down, folks. Grab hold of something. Because you're not going to believe this. It's Los Angeles. Los Angeles. A city where waiter screenwriters are becoming as common as waitress actresses. That's right. An ordinance in America's second largest city imposes a business tax on writers who work at home, a special business license fee, and forced audits and home inspections. Can you believe this? I told you all this was coming, folks, years ago. And most of you listening tonight who now know that all of this is true called me the most vicious, terrible names. I have never received such hate mail and such just terrible stuff. Many of you used to call in and just try to disrupt the broadcast. You know who you are. Now you're getting scared, aren't you? You should be. You should be damn scared. Well, I'm not kidding, folks. This is not a joke. What's worse, a state appeals court, which ought to know better, even if city officials have lost sight of the First Amendment, recently refused to block the tax, and said writers would have to delay their constitutional challenges until they paid up or were sued for non-payment. And that's the way the legal system works. You can't sue if you have no damages. In a 3-0 ruling, the Second District Court of Appeal declined to consider whether the tax violated the basic right to free expression, saying only that the suit was premature. Unbelievably, the appeals court upheld an earlier ruling by Superior Court Judge Stephen Zuliger, who dismissed the suit. Remember what I told you about California, folks? It's not really America, it's the People's Republic of California. Every scheme of socialism is tried out in California before it makes its way to the rest of the states. There's only one exception to that. Sometimes they'll try it in New York. So what's going on in California? Is it still part of America? Well, no, it's not. Never has been, really, except before it became a state. Deciding the issues at this time violates the strong public policy requiring a taxpayer to pay the tax and sue for a refund, said the opinion by Robert Milano, a Los Angeles Superior Court judge temporarily assigned to the appeals court. Well, he said it wrong, folks, because the policy of the law is you can't sue until you've suffered damages, so paying the tax is a damage. But, you know, there's another side to this. If you pay the tax, you're agreeing to it, and you're saying that it's right. So what are you to do? Well, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't pay a tax on writing. I write a lot. Good thing I don't live in Los Angeles, huh? The strong public policy requiring a taxpayer to pay the tax and sue for a refund. I see what you mean. That certainly is a higher moral calling than the basic right to free expression. After all, government has the first dibs on the people's money. The onus is on people to prove they don't owe the government and sue to get their money back. We all understand that basic concept of American civics. If that wasn't the case, who would ever pay? But there's another problem here. You see, if it's unconstitutional, then you should not ever pay no matter what. If there is no law, you should not pay and then pursue it, because then you're agreeing there's a law that you are a taxpayer and that you're required to pay that particular tax. And believe me, that's exactly what the IRS uses against you in court. And that's exactly what the city of Los Angeles will use against writers. Well, you paid the tax. And when you paid the tax, you signed the form saying that you're liable for the tax. Remember when I challenged the IRS in court to prove that they had jurisdiction to require me to file and pay taxes? Guess what they presented as their proof? An old 1040 that I had filed and paid taxes on when I was ignorant and stupid and didn't know any better. That was their proof. My signature on the line that says taxpayer, signed and sworn under penalty of perjury. But there's another law that says if you're made to sign something under penalty of perjury believing that you're required to do it because they tell you that you're required to do it, and you're not, that's fraud. And fraud negates all contracts. But you get into court and you go around and round with this stuff, and they, being the all-powerful government, they wring you out like an old dirty washcloth and hang you out to dry. And in your first try, they always find you guilty, knowing that most people don't have the money or the assets or the time or the ability or the brains to appeal it. And so they go to prison. You believe this stuff, folks? Well, it gets wackier and wackier, crazier and crazier, nuttier and nuttier. It's like we're a nation of squirrels now. Furthermore, this tax has been enforced on writers working at home since 1997. They're taxed a percentage of their income earned at home and a business license fee of $100. Can you believe this? On a guaranteed right, freedom of speech? You can't tax a right. That's a basic precept in the law. The ill-fated suit against it was filed by the Writers Guild of America and six individual writers, including Lucian Truscott, a novelist and descendant of Thomas Jefferson. They argued, quite rightly, that home inspections and audits authorized by the ordinance would bring city officials into writers' homes to examine their drafts and computer files and to decide how much of a revenue-producing work was done in the city. And the suit charged that the ordinance lacks clear standards and threatens to let the city suppress critical or unpopular expression. Why do they bring frivolous, stupid suits like this? It's unconstitutional to tax a right, ladies and gentlemen. You can't do that. And you can't go in and search somebody's home without a warrant. And they go in and argue this stupid argument here in court. What is the matter with people? Or are they just trying to do this to make people so they'll lose intentionally so that people will think they don't have a chance challenging it? Is that what they're doing? Because I noticed every one of them are globalists, pro-world government, extreme left-wing wackos. Every one of these people bringing suit. Think about it, folks. I'm glad I don't live there. Matt Drudge lives in Los Angeles. A lot of the reporters for WorldNet Daily and a whole bunch of other internet publications, a lot of columnists live in Los Angeles. A lot of other journalists based there writing about issues as sensitive as local police corruption. Can you imagine writing about local police corruption? And they've got this power to come in your home and audit you for tax on writing. But guess what's going to happen to writers that write about police corruption or anything else? They live in Los Angeles. Knowing what we know about the character and civic integrity of public officials in Los Angeles, the people who crafted this law and are enforcing it, ladies and gentlemen, is it such a stretch to imagine this law being abused to punish on the basis of what you wrote? I'm telling you right now, it's exactly what's going to happen. And pretty soon people will get the message, you don't write about this subject or that subject. Or else, they're going to be bashing down your door to inspect your home. This is insane, but it's reality. It's the truth. Gary Bostwick, a lawyer for the writers, doesn't think so. A major problem with the law, he says, is that it requires writers to register and tell the city what type of writing they're doing before challenging the tax. That's what makes him angry. Well, the whole thing is wrong. He says that right there poses problems for journalists and other writers whose work is sensitive, controversial, and by nature confidential. Hell, can you imagine me living in Los Angeles? Writing what I write? Oh, they'd be breaking down my door every 5 minutes to inspect what I'm writing. What's he gonna put on the internet next? That's simply incredible, folks. If Americans will accept this, what won't they accept? Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Madison, Paine, they all must be rolling over in their graves. Amazing.
It was a lovely Sunday morning, and everyone was gay. Everyone but Nathan Jones, who did not feel that way. He was loaded down with pills, he was plastered to the gills. You could tell it, you could smell it, every time you heard him yell. I found out who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the well!
Yes, I know who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the well!
Yes, I'm squealing on my...
Ah, that's the problem, folks. Somebody threw whiskey in the well. They're all whacked out of their heads.
Just wait and see. It wasn't me. I will tell you in a minute, soon as I find out what's in it. Yes, I know who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the New Republic. In the New Republic. An article. Global government is coming. Deal with it. It'll be on the website later tonight. Don't forget WilliamCooper.net. You should be there 3 times a day, every day. WilliamCooper.net. It's the only place you get the real news. And the truthful news, by the way.
I'm going to tell who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the well.
By the way, the links are not up yet. They will be later this evening.
I will set your mind at ease, 'cause I know who threw the whiskey in the well. Through the window came a bottle, and it landed on my head. The folks knelt down to pray. They thought Deacon Jones was dead. Elder Brown went way down. Then he raised the deacon's head. The deacon's eyes flew open, and this is what he said. It wasn't Sister Ash.
No.
It wasn't Elder Brown.
No.
It wasn't Sister Kitty, 'cause that gal was in the city. It wasn't Brother Smith.
No.
It wasn't Cousin Sammy.
Who was it, Deacon Jones?
It was Caldonia's mammy.
It was Caldonia's mammy. It was Caldonia's mammy.
She threw the whiskey in the well.
Oh, boy. Well, does that wake you up a little bit? I mean, it should. Can't believe it. Oh, this is amazing, folks, what that people aren't upset about what's going on. Listen to this. Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. What is it that they do not understand in Los Angeles about Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, are the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. A constitutionally protected right cannot be taxed, cannot be restricted, cannot be abridged. That's why all gun laws are unconstitutional, unlawful, illegal. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Taxing gun ownership is infringement. Requiring registration is infringement. Outlawing certain guns is infringement. understand? A recent court case where a convicted felon was caught in possession of a gun after he had already paid for his crime. Whatever that crime may have been, he paid for it. He got out. He went and bought a gun. Police rousted him and shook him down and found the gun. Well, they arrested him because convicted felons, whether you paid for your crime or not, are not supposed to own a gun in this country, but the Constitution does not make any exceptions. So he challenged it based upon constitutional grounds, and he won. The court ruled that the Constitution makes no exceptions for convicted felons or anybody, and that the right of the people to own firearms is a right set in stone that cannot be infringed upon, whether he's a convicted felon or not. We talked about it on this broadcast when it happened. Well, be that as it may, I'm going to open the phones, and I know a lot of you have comments about last night's broadcast and probably are a little stunned by what you heard tonight already. And you're going to be even more stunned when you when I put up the link to the article and you read the article. Global government is coming. Deal with it. Well, we're going to deal with it, or they're not going to like the way that's going to come down, but we'll deal with it. 520-333-4578 is the number. The phones are open. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. This is Marshall in Houston.
Hi, Marshall.
How are you, sir?
Good. Can you talk louder?
Yes. California, back under the Reagan administration, started installing a lot of the socialist agenda, and they used California as the jumping stone, so to speak.
It goes back a lot farther than Reagan.
Probably, yeah. But he installed a lot of their fascist socialist policies there in California.
Yeah, a lot of people love Reagan. I can't figure that out. When he was in Hollywood, when he was president of the Screen Actors Guild, everybody in California called him Red Ronnie.
Yeah.
He's always been a socialist all his life.
Yeah, I remember my dad telling me when I was a younger fellow, he said, "Oh, that Ronald Reagan, he's a Marxist." "Oh, how can you say that, Dad? He's a Republican." He says, "Oh, you don't understand what's going on yet, do you?"
You sure don't. Have you been to our website today?
No, sir. I don't even have access to the computer system.
You need,
but I will here in about a month.
Yeah, you need to get yourself a computer. Everybody needs a computer.
It's happening.
Until they take the web down, you're missing everything.
Yes, sir. World Net Daily News. I've seen some of their stuff at friends' houses, and
yeah,
they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they are.
It's
one of the better ones.
They actually have followed your criterion there of resourcing their information.
Isn't that wonderful that somebody's listening to me?
You're a good man, Mr. Cooper.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
There was a point I wanted to bring up with you, and I can't think of it at the moment. Maybe next time, but thank you for everything that you're doing. You have been a source of inspiration and knowledge.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Listening to the mystery series that you sent
me. Your voice is dropping down.
I've been listening to the mystery series that you did, and that's just incredible. You know, it just opens up.
Well, it represents about 16 years of research.
Yeah. It opens up, and it's such an incredible view of the world that we live in. And then when you're able to understand what you've taught, it gives an entire new perspective on the history of man.
Yeah.
That I've never envisioned. And I've loaned some of the tapes to friends of mine, and they are just... And these guys are like major history majors,
uh-huh.
You know, and they're just, they actually go into shock
Yeah, well,
and they go into a form of insanity. they go freaking insane.
Yeah, well, you see, that's always been taboo, to even think that there could be a conspiracy to control the world, to even dream that secret societies did anything more than put on funny hats and dance around a table and get drunk,
right.
Was unthinkable.
Well, that's why society today, the general public is so neurotic and schizophrenic, is because they have split their psyche in half with all these false premises, these false beliefs that counter their own human nature, their natural nature.
Yeah, when
human beings.
Yeah, when you're professing something that doesn't agree with the reality around you, it causes insanity.
Yeah, and you know, the most insane people that I know are all of the professors around here in
sure.
the town. they're these guys. These men and women are just, you know, besides themselves.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're the ones that are all, and this is what's funny. They're all the ones that are eating Prozac and all these other drugs so that they can get through. So they can get through the day because they can't live with themselves anymore.
Well, that's their own fault. I mean, they have a chance to look out and see reality and deal with it, but they choose to live in this fantasy world and teach lies to their students.
Well, they know subconsciously and even consciously that they're lying.
Oh, sure they do.
And
absolutely.
They have made their living as a liar.
Yeah.
And they can't live with themselves.
Yeah.
They're probably the most destructive people I've ever seen. They're alcoholics. They're drug addicts. And if it's not one of those addictions that they build on, they'll find something else.
Yeah.
You know, to destroy themselves with, or to mask their pain, to cover it up, to bury it.
Uh-huh.
It's and I don't know how many of your listeners have been witness to that, or understand even what's going on. The vast majority of our populace and the upper echelons of our society are medicated.
You can say that again.
I everyone I know here in this town, and I go out to Dallas and other places and mingle around, and everybody is doped up. And that is a symptom of people escaping the reality of their garbage.
Yeah.
You know, they're garbage. The whole basis of their existence
is a lie.
Is a lie.
Yeah. One of these nights, I'm going to read the poem written by Delamar Daverius that's in the frontispiece of my book. That says it all. Listen, I got to let some other people get in here.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for calling. On the website right now, the link is there, williamcooper.net. Go there. You'll see a link that will take you to the Republican Speaker of the House finally publicly admitting the agenda of the Republican Party. And guess what it is? He's calling for a global world. Well, you know, I always thought the world was sort of global, but, you know, that's not what he meant. What he means is world government. The Republican Speaker of the House is calling for world government. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill, good evening. It's Vic from New Jersey.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Need you to talk louder, too. Put the phone right in front of your mouth.
Okay, how's this sound?
That's much better. I want everybody listening, if you call, do that, please, so we don't have to waste all this time.
Okay,
go ahead.
Great. Yes, in reference to last night's broadcast, let people know that on the Discovery Channel, they're going to be airing that program again at 6 o'clock this Sunday.
Yeah, 6 o'clock this Sunday at 6 Eastern.
Yeah, I sent you an email. I don't know if you had time to read it. You probably got swamped with
I've got all kinds of people. Email. People called and sent email, and Discovery Channel is advertising it. This Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. So adjust that for your particular time zone or look in your TV schedule to find out, and you can tape it and look at it and show it to people. Right in there, a United States Navy admiral admits New World Order,
mm-hmm.
and that the SEAL teams work for the New World Order, not for the United States of America.
Right, and also what you were mentioning about the today's modern army with the techno children with their shooting abilities.
Yeah.
Techno. Last,
techno
here.
Children. Take their techno stuff away from them, and they're helpless.
I was able to, as a civilian, enter into a Marine Corps league shoot at one of the local rifle ranges here.
Mm-hmm.
My friend and I figured we were in the area, so we figured we'd give it a try.
Kicked their butt, didn't you?
I came in second. He came in first.
See? I knew it before you even said it.
I scored a 198 out of 200, and he scored a 199 out of 200.
Yeah.
And I was just using a Remington 222, and he was using a 6mm 243. And
mm-hmm.
They had their military issue 308s and 223s, and they're... Military issue 308s and 223s, and they were looking at us back and said, "What you guys do?" I said, "Well, we just shoot like the way we always shoot." which leaves me one more question.
Sure.
Your 375 H&H.
So 375 H&H Ackley Wildcat.
It is Ackley. Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Because I'm thinking about building something along that line. I just want to know if you're using the Ackley Improved.
Yeah, it's an Ackley Improved.
30-inch barrel on that?
31. 31-inch with a 2-inch compensator.
Mm-hmm.
Out from that, the whole barrel is 33 inches long, including the compensator.
Right. Okay, great.
And I can tap them out to a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
And believe me, folks, I'm not bragging about this. I've always been a good shot all my life. I'm not that good with a pistol. But I would venture to say there's nobody that can beat me with a rifle. They might be just as good,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to beat me with a rifle under the same conditions, with the same rifle, with the same wind blowing and all that kind of stuff. I'll kick their butts every time.
It's got to be first-hand nature when you shoot a rifle.
Yeah. I shocked my father and a friend of his when I was a boy, and I didn't know you weren't supposed to do this then, and I don't even think there was any laws against it. But my brother bet me I couldn't shoot a hawk out of the air that was way up high, circling,
mm-hmm.
with my .22, first shot.
That's shooting. That's shooting.
But I've always been a good shot with a rifle. Ever since my father gave me a rifle when I was about 6 years old, I think, .22 rifle.
Well, that's what it's about. I mean, from childhood, if you brought up in that atmosphere, you tend to be very proficient with the use of firearms and, responsible with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if you're ever planning on doing that, re-airing those episodes you had with the long-range rifle. I thought that was an excellent series that you ran.
Well, I might rerun them, or I just might do a whole new one.
Yeah, because people need to know what they're going to need to have.
Yeah.
If the need ever arises.
Yep. Gotta let you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. And I can see you through this microphone, all the way through the microphone, out through the transmitter, over the airwaves, into your antenna, down into your radio. I'm looking out the speaker grill on your radio right now. I can see you sitting on the couch there. Reach over, pick up the telephone, and call. 520-333-4578. Yeah, this guy's going to blow your mind. You see, I told you that their goal was the year 2000. We have set them back an awful lot. You have no idea the damage I've done just by telling the truth over these airwaves. You have no idea how badly I've hurt them by establishing a genre called Patriot Radio. See, I am Patriot Radio. I was the first Patriot Radio broadcaster. There wasn't any Patriot broadcasters anywhere. There were religious people. There were populists like Tom Valentine, who really wouldn't even touch these subjects with a 10-foot pole. He liked to talk about Hitler and the Holocaust and the Spotlight, which was his sponsor, and stuff like that. I started this. And other people jumped on the bandwagon and are carrying the ball, and some of them are pretty good. Some of them aren't worth a damn. But they're all of us. We're hurting them terribly. I wish everybody would stick to the truth. Things are so bad. Nobody has to stretch anything. Nobody has to tell any lies. Nobody has to make anything up. Nobody has to exaggerate. And the truth is the best weapon in the world. That's why William Jefferson Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America. Because I made it a point to never broadcast anything but the truth. And if I ever discovered I'd made a mistake, to get on the air and apologize for it and correct it. And I've done that. Nobody else does that. Nobody else wants to admit when they're wrong, so you'll never hear them apologize for anything. There's no corrections anywhere. And they're always stretching things and looking for something new to talk about the next night. They don't do any research, so they don't know if they're putting out the truth. And most of it's rumor. That hurts all of us. But there's enough truth getting out, ladies and gentlemen, that these socialists are getting scared. They're getting scared. A lot of Americans with guns. Their first and foremost task is going to be to get those guns out of our hands. And if they can't, they know their history. They know that. I know it. You know it. We all know it. And as long as Americans have guns in their hands, there's not going to be any world government. There's going to be a civil war, eventually. Guaranteed. 520-333-4578 is the number.
Bye-bye-bye, so long, baby.
Bye, bye.
Goodbye, baby.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye, honey.
Bye, bye.
Bye, baby.
Bye, bye, bye.
Yes, I'm leaving, baby. I'm going away to stay. Yes, I'm leaving, baby. I'm going away to stay. Didn't treat me right, now I'm on my way. Yeah, you played around, baby, you threw it on my friend.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, it's great to hear you again.
Thank you. Well, what do you mean again? I haven't gone anywhere.
Well, no, I don't get you on shortwave very good, and I'm just listening to you on the internet.
Good.
And you sound really good. I wanted to say that... having to admit that you're wrong is a hard thing for people to do.
I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, when I'm wrong, it doesn't hurt me a bit to apologize to my listening audience or to a personal friend that I might have said something that might have hurt their feelings or something.
Well, the problem is people have an ego, and the ego gets bruised rather easily. And let me give you my own kind of testimony on that. About a year and a half ago, long before Y2K came about, you had told me on the air that it wasn't going to happen, don't worry about it. And everyone said you were wrong, and I thought you were wrong, until I did the research you told me to do, and I found you were right. And it was hard for me, but I wrote you an email and told you that you were right and I was wrong. And from that point on, I decided that I would research it before I became emotionally attached, which was a hard thing to do, because when you're human, you got to do more of the emotional thing versus logical. But I'm just kind of curious as to the real purpose of Y2K in a situation like Michael Trudeau and all those guys, who is going to believe a single word that comes out of their mouth anymore?
Oh, you'd be amazed. There's probably a few million people that let it go right over their head. They don't care that all day long on New Year's Eve they just told nothing but lie after lie after lie. They don't care. Right. And they're hanging on every word that they're saying today. But I will tell you this. I've been listening to Alex Jones to see if there would be any effect on him about what he did on New Year's Eve. And I got to tell you, this guy is sticking closer to the facts now than he ever has.
Well, I think he had a big wake-up call.
Well, I hope so, because I got to tell you something. Alex Jones is a passionate young man, and he has a good radio voice. He could do the world a tremendous good if he would follow my example and stick to the truth and stop stretching things and stop trying to sensationalize things and stop sending his cameraman out to find a police car stopping somebody on the side of the road and stretching that into something that it's not.
Well, I think the difference between Alex Jones and yourself, Mr. Cooper, is you're mature enough not to take it personally. You understand what has happened. You understand what is happening. You understand what's going to happen. Alex Jones does not quite understand what's going to happen, and he's taking it personally because he's trying to wake people up, and he can't do it. You said something one time that it affected me many years ago. You said on your radio show, if Jesus Christ couldn't do it, why do I think I can?
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
There's so many people I try to wake up, but they're not going to wake up, and there's nothing I can do. I can't take it personal. You have to do one person at a time, plant one seed at a time, and hope that seed takes root.
But you see, Jesus knew something that none of us really knew until I sat down and started reading and looking at what he did. He never tried to shove what he was saying down anybody's throat.
That's very true, actually.
Never, ever, ever did he try to stop anybody and make them listen. He spoke only to those who came to him to hear what he had to say. And here we were going around trying to shove it down people's throats who didn't want to listen. And I stopped doing that a long time. That's why I tell you, you know, if you don't like what you hear on this broadcast, get the, you know, turn off your radio and go somewhere else, because I'm only talking to the people who want to listen, the people who are intelligent, the people who want to understand what's happening and do something about it.
Yeah.
And when I started doing that, I got a lot better results than I ever did doing it any other way.
Right. Have you been following the...
Jesus has never led me down the wrong path. So, you know, when it wasn't working, I just went and read what he did. And I started doing what he did, and all of a sudden, man, it worked.
Well, it's true, too, because a lot of people are mistaken in the mainstream Christianity that Christ came to die for our sins. Christ came to show us the way, and that's what it originally was called, was the way. He didn't come to die on a stick so we can sin all our lives and be repented at the last minute.
Yeah.
His way is supposed to be our way.
Yeah, and what he actually came for was to fulfill the law.
Hasn't all been fulfilled.
Pardon?
The big picture of the old law has not all been fulfilled.
When he came, he fulfilled the law. That was his mission, and that's what he did.
Which law you speak?
All the law. All the law that was to be fulfilled, he did it.
Okay, but we're still under the commandments of the Old Testament.
No, we're not. You see, you guys are listening to preachers in the pulpits. You're not listening to what Jesus said. Jesus said there are only two commandments. The first is to love thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. The second is to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah, but he also said too, though, in Matthew, that you were not, that all of these laws were not given away, not one tittle or any of it.
It's not what he said. Better go back and read it again. He's not talking about making you go back and fulfill all the stuff in the Old Testament.
Let's get to a bigger picture, but anyways, I just wanted to call you and say thanks, and I appreciate your program.
You're welcome.
And have yourself a great day, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you. Yeah, if Jesus didn't fulfill the law, if he wasn't God in the flesh and every word out of his mouth became the law, how could he say, now there are two commandments, not ten, two. Two, only two. Read it. There's a lot of people in this world think they're Christians. They think they're Christians because their mom and dad taught them something. They may have read part of the Bible. They may have read the whole Bible, but they didn't really understand it. But most people think they're Christians because of what somebody told them from a pulpit. From a pulpit. Let me tell you something. When you put all of these things into action that you think you know about Christianity. See, Jesus gets a bad rap from everybody, even Christians. He never taught all the things that the atheists and the pagans and all the people who hate him are blaming for. That's church stuff. A church that he wouldn't have anything to do with if he was here. I can guarantee you that. Read what he said. He tells you exactly who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. He tells you that exactly. There is no mystery about it. There is no racial stuff about it. Period. Go back and read his words. Stop listening to these monkeys in the pulpits who lie to you. Stop listening
to the Peters and the other subversives of the world. Go read what he said yourself. He tells you how to get to heaven. He doesn't restrict it to any race or any class. It's open to criminals. It's open to prostitutes. It's open to blacks. It's open to Orientals. It's open to whites. It's open to Native Americans. It's open to anybody who wants it. All you have to do is hear and believe. Now, remember, don't believe me because I just said it. Go look it up and find out for yourself. He's very clear. Very, very clear. You guys get all twisted up in these subversions and perversions and passages taken out of context, and people are preaching stuff to you because they're serving an agenda. And their agenda is made up of lies. Who is the father of lies? Who is the father of lies? Who is the father of lies? If you want to follow the father of lies, you're going to suffer the consequences. Okay? Don't get confused about all this stuff. If Jesus was God in the flesh, then anything he said and did when he appeared on this earth superseded and wiped clean anything that went before it. And the only law that is to be upheld is the law that he fulfilled and the new law that he spoke from his mouth. And that's what he's talking about. If he's God, then what he said is the law. That's the law. How can there be two commandments when God said there, how can there be ten commandments when God said there's two? And he tells you what they are. When he did that, he wiped the slate clean. He said, this is what you will follow. This is it. This is the prime. This is the most important. Go read it for yourself. Stop listening to other people. Don't even listen to me. Just go read it for yourself. And don't try to interpret. Don't try to interpret. That's where so many people get in trouble. The racists are running around talking about the parable of the tares, and that the tares are the mixed races and the mud people and all of this kind of crap. It's bullshit. Because just a little later, he tells the parable again in a different light. And then he explains to his disciples that he tells it that way to the people. And they ask him to explain it to them, and he does. He does. And he says, the good seed are those who hear and believe. And the bad seed are those who hear and do not believe. And he carries it through. Listen to it. Well, don't listen to it. Go read it. You missed your chance to listen to it. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Yeah, Mr. Cooper. How you doing?
Good. Are you the guy that called?
I'm in here about the big moon.
You got a bad phone. Can't hear you. You're cutting out.
Well, I got my microphone.
Can't do it. Sorry. Your phone's bad. You were cutting out. Didn't even understand a word you said. 520-333-4578 is the number. Let's see if we can get some calls in here and devote the rest of the thing to what we were supposed to be doing, which is taking calls. 520-333-4578 is the number.
Yes, Lord, about midnight, when you feel the world
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Jeffrey in New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Well, pretty good. I've been watching this business with that Cuban boy in Miami.
Uh-huh.
And what I've heard would make me more and more convinced of how down the drain we've gone, because there are two contrasting programs down here, one by an Ed Butler of WTIX who's in favor of keeping that boy here in the United States, and the other by a bunch of people out of, I think, Oregon or someplace, who are in favor of sending the boy back to Cuba.
Uh-huh.
And the point is that the people who want to send him back to Cuba want to drop the context of what would happen to that boy once he gets back to Cuba and in the hands of Castro. Whereas, and of course, they emphasize we must return him to his father. Whereas, of course, Ed Butler and people like myself want to keep him here to keep him living in a free world.
Well, I think his mother intended for him to stay here, or she wouldn't have brought him on that dangerous trip during which she drowned. She was trying to give her child the gift of freedom, and she gave her life in the process. I think that should hold some kind of weight in this thing.
Of course, and that's what our opponents are dropping the context on. And they're also trying to say that if one of our children were sent to Cuba and Castro were to say we won't turn him back, then the United States would be mad as heck. But yet they're trying to twist everything around and claim that the anti-Castro Cubans are as totalitarian as Castro is, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all part of the darn New World Order propaganda business to dumb us down even more. And the fact that there are a lot of Americans who claim to be in favor of sending that boy back shows how much damage has been done to us over the past 10 years.
Well, I got to say that legally, in the law, the father has all rights to decide the future of the child no matter where he lives. But that's the law. The father is supreme in making that kind of decision. Doesn't matter where he lives, whether he lives in Cuba or anywhere else. But nobody is taking the mother's sacrifice into this question. And I haven't heard the boy ask publicly what the boy wants to do. Everybody's saying what they think he wants. But in the law, the father has the rights concerning the boy.
But the problem with that, of course, is the context of what happens in Cuba when Castro starts taking those children away from the parents and indoctrinating them, et cetera, plus the mothers wish to take him over here.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you go because I understand that was your situation in regard to your family and so on, but I'll see what other people say about this situation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, Jeffrey. Number is 520-333-4578. Taking calls till the end of the broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. This is Dale. Can I talk loud enough?
Yeah.
Okay. On this deal out in Los Angeles, Those guys are bound to the Constitution because of Article 6, aren't they? Supreme law of the land?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they can't do that messing around with the First Amendment, just because they want to...
Well, they're doing it.
Yeah, well, I understand that they are doing it.
They're doing it because the sheeple let them do it.
Yeah. I got out my copy of the Constitution and started going through. When I heard that one, I'm like, I don't know how you guys come up with this stuff.
Well, they come up with it because everybody else is so stupid. It's like the guy on the SEAL teams last night. He said, we're not really that good. It's just that everybody else sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, you should be listening to that. Everybody out there, you should take that to heart. The reason they're doing this is because everybody else is stupid. They don't understand. They don't even understand how much power they have. You imagine a mob in Los Angeles swarming down to the city hall, picking the mayor up out of his chair, taking him down, throwing him in the ocean. Can you imagine that? The police couldn't stop him.
No.
No way.
Okay, well, that's all I had. That program last night was wild, though. I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was hearing on there.
Well, I'll tell you what. All you can do is open your ears because it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Check it out.
And if you're on the internet, you better get to our website because there's some stuff on there that'll just frost you. I mean, it's in our face now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hell-bent on having their New World Order this year, just like I said.
Yeah. That's what drives me nuts about people that don't get it. I'm like, it's not a conspiracy. It's in your face.
Yeah.
It's so in your face. How do you not see?
Well, they're stupid. That's why.
Yeah, I know, but...
They're stupid. They're dumbed down. Tim told me some woman here in the valley approached him in the parking lot somewhere the other day and started railing on him and wanted him to come up here and tell me that she wasn't stupid. Tim said, well, if you heard what he said and you think he was talking to you, then you are.
Yeah, that's what he used to say about the people term.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. If something that I say on this broadcast, you know, referring to somebody in the audience, makes you angry, then that's because you recognize that I was talking to you.
That's
See,
right.
I don't even know you. I don't know you people out there. So, I'm not, you know, I don't have you in mind. If you have you in mind, you know something in your head is telling you something. It's telling you that I hit the right button and it pertains exactly to you. Got to let you go. We're out of time.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
Good night.
Well, that's it, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you all with all my heart and soul.
I got a
He says to me, get the box, 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 get